So our charity of the week all this week is SADA Isle of Man. We've been finding out about search and rescue dogs. Olivia, I am delighted that you have brought in one of the dogs. Just introduce who is with you.
So this is Mop. He is a 5-year-old border collie and he is qualified as a lowland search and rescue dog.
What does that mean then, lowland search and rescue?
So pretty much the entire Isle of Man, or the entire Isle of Man, is classed as lowland in comparison to places in Wales, for example, that would be classed as mountain. So it's not just about the height, it's also about the actual terrain that we cover. And over here, that's all lowland.
I mean, I would have thought there's probably lots of places people could get into sticky situations. But I mean, how do you see the Isle of Man with regards to making it a difficult or challenging place for what you do with regards to getting out and finding people in?
So I'd say the Isle of Man, it excels in many ways in the fact that it's small and everybody knows everybody. So that can make our job a lot easier. However, I would say that, well, I suppose it's a bit like anywhere, the changeable weather. Because everybody thinks that it's so small, it's very easy to sometimes get into difficulty. People go out without their phones, they have no idea on navigation. Things like that can make it a little bit easier, I'd say, over here to go wrong.
I can imagine, yeah. We are doing this chat this week because it is International Dog Day. And Jim, you revealed some exciting news because I know you've had a bit of a tough year, haven't you? Because you did lose your companion, but you've got another companion on the way.
Yeah, it's time to move on. And decided to go for a collie this time. The pointer took quite a lot of effort to initially train up, whereas collies are very switched on. So, yeah, I've got exciting times coming up where I've got a new little addition to the family. And they are very much family dogs as well. First of all, socialisation, and then it's got to be fun, the whole training thing. But I'm so looking forward to it again.
And what makes a really good search and rescue dog?
Ones that have got a really high play drive. I've seen a little video clip of this dog and it's doing a tuggy toy. It's really super inquisitive. All those sort of attributes. Clearly, it's got to have a good nose. And collies, fairly good nose. My last dog was, a hunting dog, which is obviously a much better nose. But the other thing is, it's just a willingness to please the handler. It's that really close bond that you get between dog and handler, and they'll basically do anything for you to help you find people.
It is incredible, though, when you see some of the videos that I've seen in the past where there was one I saw recently that's popped up and has probably gone a bit viral, I think, where a guy just throws a coin into a river and the dog doesn't even see where this coin's gone. And then the dog finds a coin in a river. I mean, the things that they can do is just incredible, isn't it? You must have seen some remarkable things yourself, Olivia, when you've been out on searches.
Just how hard they work is absolutely phenomenal. And exactly as you say, they can't see what they're looking for, so they are predominantly using their nose just to see what they can pick up when people never would have necessarily spotted. You can have drones, for example, working, plenty of people out searching, but sometimes you just need that innate ability that a dog has to sniff out human scent.
Yeah,
you know, the distance they can pick up. So, say, for example, with Mop, you know, it could be a kilometre away if the wind's in the right direction.
Yeah.
They can pick that far away. My old dog, Ruby, were trailing. She followed the scent of someone down Strand Street 24 hours later and went to the bus stop, stopped at the bus stop, which is where the gentleman had got on. So you think how many people have been through Strand Street in that time, and she still followed that one scent of that person.
Oh, my word.
So it is quite staggering.
So that's clearly something that's stuck in your mind. But I mean, I know you've been doing this for a few years now. I mean, what are some of the other sort of incredible moments that really stick with you?
I think probably for both of us, it's you can't beat the elation of a find.
Yeah.
You know, we put so much into it, don't we? And when you've actually had a successful outcome, you know, it just makes it so rewarding that all that hard work's paid off, basically.
There's nothing like that feeling of reuniting someone, if you can, with their family. That is incredible. There's nothing like that.
And I think the dogs get it as well, don't they?
100%.
They do react when they know they've done a good job.
Yeah, Absolutely. We reward them, so they all have their own unique reward. Mop will do anything for a tennis ball. Everybody thinks it's his love of me, but it's not. It's purely the tennis ball. But they do, they know when they've done a good job, and they put their heart and soul into it every time.
And how did you get into this then, Olivia?
So it makes me a little bit emotional talking about it, so I'll try and keep it brief. Unfortunately, the majority of the work that we do is suicide related. And I have been there. And I bought Mop at a time in my life where I was probably at my lowest. And he was something that I could work alongside and work towards. He was my working sheepdog. Fast forward, unfortunately, 18 months when we lost our farm. And I was back to that same headspace and not sure how I was going to get through it. And I actually owe it to my mum, who said, "Have you ever thought about putting the skills that you've learned into search and rescue?" And we've never looked back. It's been incredible to be part of a team that has just given me so much, but that we can now try and give back ourselves.
And that's the thing you guys really do. And I mean, because of course you could get called out at any moment in presumably often quite tricky conditions, couldn't you, Jim?
Yeah, unfortunately, quite often it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I've had times where we've had a leavers assembly and I've had to suddenly dive out because a girl's gone missing. Can I just pick up on a previous point about Olivia, by the way? Mm-hmm. You know, she's the first female handler on the Isle of Man. Qualified very soon after giving birth. She's just absolutely incredible, the work rate she's put in. And we talked before about sort of lowland mountain dogs. She would wipe the floor with most of the mountain dogs I've seen in the Lake District in Snowdonia. So I think, you know, sometimes underestimated how good a handler she actually is.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh,
now I'm going to get emotional. Oh, no.
Well, you know, isn't that a thing? Because when you find something that is just your thing, it's really special. And not many people that are able to do that. So I'm really pleased for you. It's a really good thing
Thank
that you've
you.
Got that. And it's obviously changed your life. So
100%.
In
yeah.
many ways, yeah. So is this it now? You will carry on doing this, do you think, for the long term?
100%. There's no doubt about it. And I also, I'm pretty confident that my daughter will go on to be a far better dog handler. She's only 18 months, but she already shows me that my dog will do more for her than he will for me. So, yeah, the family's in it for the long haul now.
That is amazing. But, Jim, you did mention in the earlier piece, you're always looking for people, aren't you, to come on board?
Yeah, definitely. We do quite often when we, you know, go on the radio, we end up having a lot of people saying, well, my dog can be a search dog. And some do, of course, but it is a lot of work and not all dogs make it. But being a dog handler is only part of our charity. We are a small charity and we all do numerous jobs. Olivia's doing media. I'm having to do sort of, you know, WI and presentations and things like that. And it helps relieve it when we've got more people who do the accounts and, you know, things like that. So, but the main thing is always bodies having, and when I say bodies, we're talking about people with their heartbeat, you know, live people, people that will go out and hide in all conditions. Because without them, we don't have a search dog. You can't train just on articles. It just doesn't work.
So if someone is thinking they could actually help you with this, what do they need to do?
They just need to reach out to us either via Facebook or Instagram or go in directly to our website. And then they can email off that if they prefer. Even just if you meet us out and about, the amount of people that we often just meet and we're walking our dogs and they notice they've all got little dog tags that say that they're a search dog. Just don't feel afraid to approach us and ask, and can you get involved?
And what does it actually entail? So if someone is saying, I'll be a body for you, what does that entail?
So because obviously it's totally voluntary, so they do not have to sign up for the worst weather if they don't want to. But it basically involves hiding for our dogs. We will put you in positions so that the trainer that day knows where they are, so you're never going to get left behind.
They get a radio.
Yep, they get a radio and they get a waterproof bivy bag, which is really important because we often do train in the rain. They can body as much or as little as they like. If you want to go on to do more things like being a navigator or a handler, then there is training that will offer alongside that.
Because you're saying, obviously, you've been out doing navigating, I think, over the past couple of weeks, and that's something that's really key to what you do as well, isn't it?
Yes. We are very lucky that we have Jim and also Finlow, who deliver our navigation training, as well as Andy from Civil Defence. So we're very well equipped, I would say, in terms of our training, and we go on to do our National Navigation Awards as well.
I think we're blessed as well, aren't we, with first aid. So we have Becky, who's now she's a doctor in Port Erin. She's joined the team, potential handler in the future. And then Ben Scott as well, who does the DFIB training with us in the first aid. So we do safeguarding training, communications using the radios. It's quite extensive, to be honest. It isn't just get a dog and off you go sort of thing.
It can feel a little bit overwhelming, I think, in the beginning with just how much you're going to learn. But it's amazing how quickly you'll pick it up. So it's not too daunting.
No, I think it definitely sounds like it's worth getting in touch, definitely.
Yes.
I mean, the difference it's made to you, for one thing, is just extraordinary, isn't it? But then, OK, then what message would you have for the general public? Because as we're saying, the Isle of Man feels like it's a really safe and easy place to get around. It's small, you know, we don't have mountain ranges, but we can get into trouble. So what message would you have for people out there? Because as much as I'm sure you enjoy your job, you don't really want to be doing it, do you, at the end of the day?
No, as much as, we love what we do. Ideally, we want everybody to stay safe. So predominantly, I would say make sure that you have appropriate clothing. Make sure you check the weather forecast and that you're prepared if the worst happens. As we all know, the Isle of Man, it can be beautifully sunny up north, as it usually is, and then it completely changes a few miles down the road. I would also say make sure you know how to use a map or have an alternative way of finding your way around. And if the worst comes to worst, make sure you have the option to use what three words when you call the emergency services.
And we've been pushing this recently because it's something that's really crucial, isn't it, for you guys? Just explain how what three words works.
Sorry, we actually had a gentleman missing that we went looking for earlier this week with Civil Defence that I'm also in. And they had to talk him through how to use what three words. And it's a simple app that you can get, or you can get it on the internet. And it, every bit of the earth is split up into 3 square metres. And they've each got 3 random words put together. Really important that you give sort of plurals as well, but it will locate you. Well, I say about plurals, we got slightly the wrong word early in the week, and it came up with somewhere in Hawaii, and I was there saying, right, quick, I don't mind going to Hawaii, I'll go and search for the gentleman. But he was actually on the Millennium Way, so you've got to put that S in if you need it.
Well, it is brilliant work that you do, and we're all so grateful for what you do as well. You and your dogs, of course. And that is, as we said, one of the reasons we wanted you this week to talk to us is because it is International Dog Day this week. They're a bit special, aren't they?
They are, 100%.
Yeah, and we wish you all the best with Bear, obviously.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll keep you all posted, and hopefully I'm going to, have to come in sometime. And
we look forward to meeting Bear. Absolutely, yeah. And thank you for bringing Mop. I think Mop deserves a treat, or at least to get to play with the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's 10 new ones, I think, waiting in the car for him, so he'll be happy.
Oh, fantastic. And just remind us again how we get in touch with you guys.
So you can either go to our website, sadaiom.im, or you can go directly to our Facebook or Instagram page.
The Charity of the Week.